Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, your host and award-winning author, apparel industry expert, and business owner. I'd like to personally take the time to thank you for listening today and also for taking this journey with us. We'd also like to invite you to please, would you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast? It would mean so much to us and also help us gain exposure so we can bring this type of information to listeners that would appreciate it just like yourself. Also, on behalf of the Life of a Gentleman, we'd like to invite you to download your free copy of the ebook or audiobook, The Life of a Gentleman, that is 144 plus pages of information on transforming your life into becoming the best you possible. You can get this copy at harrisonblakeapparel.com, visit the blog, and get your free download. At this time, I'm happy to say I am joined once again by my co-host and good friend, Charles. Charles, how's it going today?
Oh, it's going well. How are you doing today, Richard?
I'm doing good. It's a little rainy here, but it's always a pleasure when we get to connect and talk on the podcast, so it's good to get this going once again.
Yes, it sounds good, and I'm ready for today's topic. Today, I thought we'd talk about stress. Now, stress is something that involves everybody. I think that's a good topic, don't you?
Oh, it's definitely a good topic. We all have stress. I have it, you have it. I'm sure every listener has had it or experienced it in the past if they're not going through it right now.
Yeah, and it's funny because when I think about stress, I kind of think about fishing. Now, I love to fish. My father taught me how to fish when I was younger. Now, you may say, now, what does fishing have to do with stress? Well, first of all, fishing is a good stress reliever when you're catching fish. But
yeah.
what I'm talking about is its bait and its triggers that you put on the end of your hook to try to attract the fish. Now, these bait is kind of like the stress. Sometimes fish, they don't want to bite, but they have these triggers or these mechanisms in front of them, and their instinct is just to bite. And that's how stress can be for us. When we have some triggers within our lives, when we have things that's going on, these are the things that's going to cause us to bite back, so to speak, at life and cause a lot of stress.
Yeah, that makes total sense when you put it like that. Now, when you did first say fishing, I'm like, how does this relate? So I'm glad you explained that for us.
Yeah, it's those triggers. So what we want to do today, we just want to just tell our listeners, hey, we know that we all have stress, but let's try to do a few things so that we can minimize the stress and it would be less for us within our lives.
That sounds good to me. I think everybody will be all ears on this one. What's the first tip that you have for us?
Well, one of the first things that I have found, and even within the research, is that we have to figure out what is our source of stress in your life. Because without identifying what causes stress, we will never know how to get rid of it.
You know, that may sound simple when you hear it like that, but it actually makes sense. A lot of times you're so busy, you really can't pinpoint what's causing the irritation or the stress in your life. So I like that one.
Yeah, and before you know it, stress is like a little fire that it just starts little and it's there, but it grows and grows and grows. And before you're able to identify where that sort of flame or the fire came from, next thing you know, your whole house is burned down.
Yeah, and we don't want that, do we?
No, we definitely do not want that. What are some tips that you have found?
Well, one of the tips that I like that was actually sort of a preventative is to avoid caffeine, alcohol, and nicotine. It says if you can't totally cut those things out, you might want to reduce them. A lot of people don't realize alcohol, it's a depressant. So you think that you're unwinding and relaxing, but actually you're kind of compounding the issue even more. The same thing with caffeine. It's another reason to cut it out. A lot of people think it's helping them with the stress or giving them energy, but it's actually has a negative effect. So you want to replace that with healthier foods, things like water or natural juices, things of this nature.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now you're telling me I can't have my morning coffee. I gotta have my morning coffee.
No, I'm not telling anybody that. I don't want to get in a lot of hot water. But
okay.
But studies have
I look forward to that every morning. That causes me stress right now.
Right. No, studies have shown though, if you reduce your intake of caffeine and alcohol, that it could possibly be beneficial in reducing your stress. So that's why I mentioned that.
Okay, so we're talking about reducing that, not just totally going to cold turkey, because that can give you headaches and that can cause stress. But some of these energy drinks, some of these things that we think can help, after a while is very harmful for our body. So that is a good tip there. And another tip that I had found that kind of helped is, how do we cope with the stress now? Now, it's a tip because it shows that how we cope can be the way that we maintain. So one way we can do that is by getting up and exercising.
Oh, I like that one. And that sometimes can be tough, especially when you're busy. We don't have time to exercise. That's what we tell ourselves. But what you're telling us is find the time, right?
Yeah, you have to find the time, because exercise is one of the funniest things, because you don't want to do it, but when you're done, you feel so much better. You have so much more energy, and you can literally feel not only the pounds coming off of you, but you can kind of feel that weight of stress off of your shoulders when you get into a nice routine of exercise.
Yeah, that's a great one. You just got to carve out that time, like you said. Now, you just said a word that made me think of my next tip. You said routine. And
okay.
I'm going to segue into this. My tip is getting more sleep. And the reason I mentioned the word routine is the research that I found shows that you should try to aim to go to bed at the certain time every night so that you have a bedtime routine that's predictable. And this is going to help you get more sleep. You don't want to try to just skate by. I know there's some people that say they only need 5 hours of sleep or 6 hours of sleep, but actually studies show more is better. So again, lay off the alcohol at night, because that's not going to help you sleep. And also, you don't want to take sleep aids or medications. You really want to get yourself into a routine. Maybe you wash your face, brush your teeth, have a half a cup of herbal tea, something like that. Do a little reading and then wind down and then get in bed at a suitable time every night, and your body becomes used to that routine and you start to get more sleep. The stress kind of melts away just by doing that.
You know, and that's true. As you was talking, I know when my stress level is high, the first thing I do, one of the first things I do, look at my sleep. And I can see that my sleep pattern has been altered. So that does make sense. And then also, too, you have kids, and I have a son. What are the things we do when we get them prepared for bed? We follow that same routine. Brush your teeth, put on your pajamas, read a story, get their mind unwound and settled down so they can have a good night's sleep and they're not waking up stressed. So that is a great tip. Use that routine.
Yeah, if it works for the little ones, it'll work for us too, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, if it works for them, then it's definitely going to work for us.
Well, what's your next tip? I'm curious to see what you have next.
Well, one of the things, we have to replace the stress with something fun. So do something that you know that can get your mind off of your problems. Whether it's reading, whether it's meditating, just having fun, listening to some music. Just do something, at least one thing in your day that makes you happy.
Yeah, a lot of times we forget to do that. A lot of us are driven. We're working hard on a project or at work, and all we think about is accomplishing those tasks, and we don't take that time for ourselves. And that's a big mistake that we can make.
Yeah, and it's just like if we want to save money, we have to pay ourselves first in order to be able to save money. It's the same way with reducing stress. We have to look at ourselves. Now, we're not talking about isolating ourselves and being selfish and just totally throwing our family away, but just taking those few moments, whether if you're on the way home, listen to a favorite music. Listen to a podcast. Listen to us. You know, do what you can do, but just take those key moments within your day to just make yourself smile and just let that stress just melt away.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. You know, I'll tell a personal tidbit, and that's I'm a baseball guy. And one thing I like to do is play catch. Get outside, get the heart pumping just a little bit. What I did for myself a couple weeks ago is I bought one of those nets that you can set up and you toss the ball into the net and it bounces right back to you. So you can actually play catch by yourself because my kids are still young. I like to play with them, but there's a lot of dropping going on. So until they get it down, you know, I figured it's a stress reliever for me. I can go out there, throw the ball against the net. It comes bouncing back to me. I love to hear the pop of the ball into the glove, and that's a stress reliever. So like you said, just do something little for yourself every once in a while.
Yeah, just something for yourself, something little. Just keep that same routine, like you said, getting the exercise, reducing the caffeine and sugar and alcohol, and that can help reduce the stress. Now, is there one final thing that you have for us about reducing stress? I know we didn't cover everything. It's so much more, but just if there's one little tip that you can help us out with, please.
Yeah, my last tip would be learn to say, again, it comes back to our plates are so full. And a lot of times we just keep piling it on. We're saying, okay, yes to this. We've got to run the kids here. Yes. You've got to help your spouse with something. Yes. There's a project at work. You keep saying yes. And before you know it, like you said, you don't have any time for yourself. So learn to say no. And it might feel funny at first, but here's a couple phrases that you can say that are polite, but lets people know that your plate's full. You can simply say to them, I'm sorry, but right now I can't commit to this because I have a few other priorities at the moment that are taking precedent. Or you could say, you know, I'd love to do this. If somebody invites you somewhere to do something and maybe you just don't have the time, say, I'd love to, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to decline at this time. And the reason you have to say no is if you keep saying yes, you're going to burn out. It's going to cause more stress. You have to take time for yourself. And like you said at the beginning, we need to get into those routines and we need to sleep. So we can't always say yes.
Yes, and just like the beginning with the fishing, when we out there, that's a stress reliever, but that bait always is dangling in front of us within everything. So whether or not it's the alcohol, it's the caffeine, it's the wanting to stay up late, it's not getting enough sleep, it's wanting to say yes to everything. That's that bait that's dangling in front of us. We have to learn how to cut that line. And if we do, we can reduce stress in our life.
Yeah, those were some great tips, Charles. And like you said, we couldn't touch on everything, but we did hit on a few key topics. And I think we're going to have to revisit this one again.
I think so, too.
Well, at this time, I think it's about that time that we slide into an interview. How's that sound?
Let's go.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome back, everyone. This week, we have a special guest with us. Joining us on the line, this is somebody that we've connected with on social media, and we feel he'd make a great guest. Let me tell you, everybody that's listening, you are going to have to follow this guy on social media to see some of the styles that he's putting out. He really can inspire you, and he's doing a lot of great things in the LA community as well. Welcome to the line, The Social Cut, Steve Nunez. Steve, are you there?
Hey, Richard.
How you doing today, Steve?
Hey, Richard, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Nunez?
Yes.
There you go.
All right, wonderful. Yeah, we did it. Well, I'm glad you're joining us today. And could you kind of just start off and let everybody know a little bit about your background, maybe just where you're from and what do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, my name is Steve Nunez, and I'm the creator of The Social Cut. And I'm based in L.A., born and raised in Los Angeles. I got my start, actually, I worked the whole corporate world. But I've always had a passion for men's fashion and grooming. When I was in school, I actually was cutting hair, barbering, styling hair. And when I graduated, that's when I started working in the corporate world. And finally, I kind of got tired of that and said, you know, what is it that I really love? What's my interest? And it just came back to fashion and grooming. And that's where I created The Social Cut.
Man, that sounds like an awesome idea, following your passion, because there's a lot of people out there. They're not happy in their jobs. You know, they work that 9-to-5 and it feels like they're just on a treadmill going nowhere. So hats off to you for following your dreams. Now, was it easy to make that jump into the fashion world?
It was actually pretty difficult because, again, jumping from the corporate world to following your passion, it's pretty difficult because I went from making a decent amount of money to basically starting all over again from the bottom with almost no money. So, you know, it's pretty tough. But if it's something you really enjoy, it's kind of cliche, but you hear it a lot. It's, if you love what you do, the money will come. And I'm making a lot less money, but believe me, a lot happier. So it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, we hear you there. Yeah, following your dreams is always the way to go. You can't really go wrong. Now, you mentioned a couple times now the Social Cut or the Social Gents. Exactly what is that? Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, sure, Richard. So, again, I have a Social Cut, and I'm all about building the community, especially for menswear, men's fashion, men's grooming. There's so many different aspects of men's fashion, men's grooming that we don't think about. All we think about is just fashion. But there's also the grooming part of it. There's also the photographers. There's also the stylists. So many different people that play a big role in this. And that's where I created The Social Gents. So what The Social Gents is, it starts off as a meetup group, and we unite all these people to come together and under one roof to network, to mingle, because there's not that many events for fashion and men's grooming. So we wanted to make sure to bring everyone here in the LA area, anybody who wants to come out to one of these events. And again, just get to know each other, get to know your favorite social media influencers. And we have people who are just starting off in fashion, people who are huge influencers on social media, but also we need just to come in, hang out, get to know each other for our passion.
Man, that sounds like a really good time. Now, would this event be a monthly event, or how often do you guys get together and meet up like this?
First, we started randomly. It was just a group of friends, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys who get together. And you kind of see that across social media where you have just a group of friends who get together, take pictures for men's fashion. And that's where I got the idea of, hey, you know what? I saw a couple of guys in San Diego do a shoot with their friends. We do a couple of shoots here in LA with my friends. And then you see people in Orange County, just pretty much all over Southern California. And that's where I got the idea of, hey, you know, everyone loves doing this. Everyone likes hanging out. What if we unite all these people together and start meeting up more regularly? So as of right now, we're kind of just doing it randomly. I'm shooting to do it every 3 to 4 months. So our next event will be in September. So that's kind of where we're taking it with right now.
Oh, okay. Definitely. So I can see how this kind of evolves over time, and it's kind of grown into a bigger thing. In fact, I saw on YouTube a video of the last event, and I'm telling you, that thing looked like it was a lot of fun. It looked like a great turnout.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I wasn't expecting as many people had showed up, but obviously that's a good problem to have. So we initially started with about 7 people. We ended up having 20 people across LA come out and hang out for men's fashion and men's grooming.
Yeah, so when you guys get together, now you've done it a few times now, what have been the benefits of meeting up like this in case there's somebody else in a different part of the country that's thinking of starting a meetup group like this? What benefits would you say there are of meeting together?
Oh, I mean, there's tons of benefits. Again, like I said, we have bloggers who come out here. We have just menswear enthusiasts, fashion industry people, designer stylists, labels. So, for example, if you're a brand who wants to connect with their audience or these influencers, this gives them a chance to actually get face-to-face with the people they're selling things to, or just kind of, or, you know, they get a chance to talk with them. If you're just into men's fashion, you get to collaborate with other social media influencers. Again, we do different things for the meetup groups. So, for example, we'll do grooming tips. We'll help you guys. We'll have, like, guest speakers come on and give you guys tips on how to grow your social media, how to grow your blog, how to collaborate with friends, style advice. So the list just goes on and on. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And there are a lot of benefits that you mentioned there. A lot of good ways to connect, maybe learn a new skill or something that you didn't know about. So that is great what you're doing. Now, one thing that you've kind of mentioned throughout this interview was grooming. A lot of times, you're right, that gets overlooked. Could you tell us some of the benefits or a little bit more about grooming? Because I'm getting the impression that maybe you were a barber or you're a stylist in some way.
That's correct, yeah. So when I was in school, I styled hair, so I have a background in styling and a barber, and that's where my passion comes from, men's fashion and men's grooming. They go hand in hand, but you just don't get a lot of light isn't shed on the whole grooming side of the fashion side. And, you know, I think your hair plays a big role in what type of style you have, because if you think about it, you know, you change your clothes every day, but you wear the same hair every day, right?
Right, yeah.
So absolutely, the type of hair you have defines the style you have. So it's just kind of like the style you have, depending on, you know, more casual, more suits, you know, that kind of defines your style. So absolutely, you know, men's grooming, as far as your hair, facial products, body grooming, that kind of stuff, you know, I love to talk about it. That's kind of what I focus my YouTube channel on also.
Yeah, you mentioned the YouTube channel. Could you let everyone know what the name of that channel is so we could check it out, maybe get some of these tips?
Yeah, absolutely. So my YouTube channel is The Social Cut. So you guys can check it out. I post a new video every week. It's on men's fashion and men's grooming. I offer tips on styling and just all around how to be a better gentleman.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I've seen some of those videos. They're pretty awesome. So you guys definitely, those that are listening, you got to check these out. Now, Steve, let me ask you about your goals for the future, because it seems like you have a lot of ambition and you're just getting started on your entrepreneurial journey and you're off to like a fast start. So where are you going from here?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm very ambitious and I'm definitely an entrepreneur. So the next step for me is just continue to grow the social gents. I want to bring the community together and the brand together and see where we take it from there. I would love to kind of have this event grow and just get bigger and bigger, host it in a bigger venue, and ultimately, you know, have everyone come out from all over the country. You know, hopefully we can take this not just in LA, we can host these type of events or meetups on the East Coast and pretty much everywhere. So I'd love to do that with the social gents. As far as for the social cut, that's my personal brand, and I just want to continue to inspire people and anyone from just a guy who just wants to make sure he looks good when he goes to work to people who will inspire to be an influencer on social media. So as of now, those are my goals, and we'll see, we take it from there.
Yeah, you're definitely off to a great start, like I mentioned. And I can hear the passion that you have for LA, and it seems like you're born and raised there, and it seems like that's just in your blood. So Where's that passion come for LA?
You're right, man. That's where my heart and soul is Los Angeles. I grew up in LA. I was born in LA. I went to school here in LA. So that's my home, man. And just seeing that, especially because, you know, LA is barely starting to get that light, that recognition for LA fashion. I feel LA has always been kind of in the shadow when it comes to New York fashion. So when it comes to LA, you know, I feel there's a lot of fashion here, and you can see that now on social media, and that's why I love LA. You know, just the culture here, you can turn anywhere, and the food, the lifestyle. So I love LA. I've traveled around the country, and not until I started traveling, that's when I appreciated more my city. And I said, hey, you know what? Someone has to represent Los Angeles and bring everyone to the events we're seeing here in LA. And I said, hey, why not me? And hopefully I can do that.
Yeah, definitely, man. And you're doing it very well. And I want to let everybody know, Steve was nice enough to invite me out to one of his events. And I can't wait to get out to LA and soak up some of that lifestyle that you're talking about, my friend.
Absolutely, man. I look forward to having you, man. Hopefully you can make it out soon. Definitely treat you right, man.
Yeah, definitely. We'll make it happen. Now, you talked about the LA fashion scene. And here's a question that I was wondering. What would be some of the surprises that people would be surprised actually to know about the LA fashion scene? Because you're right. Sometimes you're just dominated by the New York market. In LA and in areas, I won't even get into where I'm at. I'm in Michigan, so we're really overshadowed here. But what would we be surprised to learn about the LA fashion scene?
I mean, for me personally, I'm not surprised of any fashion here, you know, because I live here in LA. But as far as from an outsider's perspective, I think just the style as when it comes to fashion, I think we have the reputation of being really laid back and that beachwear. And of course, you'll get that fashion here. But you check this out in downtown LA or just kind of any professional setting here, and we're always suited up. We know how to wear suits. And my personal style is, again, I combine it with professional casuals. I love wearing rocking a suit with some sneakers, New Balance. But yeah, I think wearing suits here in LA, I don't think we get enough recognition on that. So you definitely got to check it out. And yeah.
I think everybody's going to have to definitely check it out and be able to see some of the things that you guys are doing, because you're definitely doing big things out there. That's why we wanted to have you on. Hey, before we let you go, let me ask you a question. Since we're coming up on the fall, what fall trends do you see that you think are going to be hot for this season?
For fall, it's definitely going to be, I would say you need to go out there and grab a bomber jacket, because those bomber jackets were hot last season. And they're coming back again this season, so make sure you grab one of those. But definitely the bomber jacket. And, of course, here it doesn't get as cold in L.A. You always want to make sure to have some staple pieces. And you can't go wrong with a pea coat and a raincoat, because they're just things you need to have. But they're always in style and always in fashion. So definitely look for those pieces. And boots. You want to make sure to grab some boots. And I think those are things you've got to have for this fall.
Oh, definitely. I can't wait to pull out the boots myself. Get a little comfortable this fall. But Steve, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast, and we want to have you come back on and update us about the social gents and what's going on in the LA fashion scene. But before you go, please, could you give us your website or blog or your contact information where we could connect with you or follow you on social media?
Yeah, of course. Again, thanks a lot, Richard, for having me on here. I look forward to jumping on your show again. Let me know when I'll be more than happy to jump on anytime. But make sure you guys check me out on my blog. You guys can check it out at thesocialcut.com. And of course, I always have fashion tips on men's grooming and fashion. You guys can check it out at thesocialcut. I'm on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. And of course, make sure you guys check me out on my YouTube channel. You guys can see it at thesocialcut. I have a weekly video up there, so make sure you guys check that out. And definitely anybody here in the LA area, make sure you guys check out thesocialgents.com. We're going to have our next meetup September 24th in Pasadena. So if you're in LA or going to be in town, make sure you guys check it out. We'd love to have you come hang out with us.
Thanks for sharing that information with us, Steve. And thanks for coming on the Life of a Gentleman podcast. We're definitely going to do it again. We applaud you for diving into the fashion field with your entrepreneurial spirit. We wish you the best. And until next time, my friend, take care.
Thanks, Richard.
Here's a brief word from our sponsor. This podcast has been brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel. Visit them online for a great selection of neckties, pocket squares, and menswear accessories. Want to really step up your style? Join their monthly subscription club. For $25 per month, you'll receive one necktie plus four additional matching accessories. And now it's time for the segment we like to call The Gentleman's Look. A look into fashion, style, and accessories. This is The Gentleman's Look.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of The Gentleman's Look. This week, we have Dennis on the line, ready to talk to us and give us some styling tips. Dennis, glad to have you back.
Yeah, man. How you doing, Rich? It's good to see you. Glad to be back. Fall season is upon us. Today is a little bit cooler than the way it's been before, so I'm excited to break down today's topics. You know what, man? Let's do shoes. Let's do boots, because, you know, it's kind of that time to start breaking out the boots and shoes and must-haves for the fall season for every gentleman.
That sounds perfect. The weather is starting to get nice and crisp in the air. I'm ready for it. Go ahead. Let us have that first tip.
All right, man. This is one of the pieces which I had mentioned, I think, back a couple of months ago with dress shirts, where when it comes to shoes, it's very important that you spend money on them, because quality and fit is everything. That's what I tell my clients. You cannot just buy any pair of shoes, because number one, they're not going to last you long. So I think price, this is something that, guys, you're going to have to spend money on. Same thing with dress shirts. You know, that's just the way it works. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to break down for the guys kind of like about 5 to 7 must-have for shoes. You ready for this, Rich?
Hey, that sounds good. You've whet my appetite. Let us have it.
All right, man. Well, let's start off with my personal favorite. The reason why I bring it up first is the leather wingtip brogues. The reason why I like these is they're very versatile. When you wear them, it's almost like wearing boots, man. There's a thickness to the bottom of the shells that is so comforting. Wearing it with jeans, you could wear it with a suit, pretty much. And in the summer, actually, you wear them with shorts, dress shorts. So, gentlemen, it's a must-have for you to have some wing tips, either dark brown or dark tan, however you know your preference, even black. So, how do you feel about the wing tips, Rich?
I'm a fan of the wing tips, always have been, and the colors you mentioned are a couple that I have. I have a dark brown and a dark tan, and I really like to wear them in the fall with a pair of jeans. I wear a darker color denim, and it looks great. And the thing is, it pairs really well with a dress shirt, and then you can throw on a blazer, and you look a little bit dressed up, but not overdone. It's perfect for the season. Great pick.
Exactly. That's the one of the reasons why I like him so much. The versatility is amazing. Even if you have a t-shirt with a blazer and jeans, it just brings, I'm telling you, it's like wearing boots. They're so comfortable. But we'll move on to the next one, which is another casual boot. Now, this one is the Chelsea boots. This is a little bit tricky in a way, because it's got to be worn with specific type of denim. Mostly very skinny at the bottom, which is the trend nowadays, so it's not for every gentleman. Moving on to the next one is the desert boot. Desert boot is, I like the ones that J. Crew has in the stores, because they're like top notch. Desert boot is kind of like an ankle boot. It's also comfortable, a little bit more comfortable than the wingtip brogues. So those are another must have. Now, these don't have to be the first pair of shoes that you pick up. It's something that you could, you know, if you have a lot, that's a nice add-on, you know, to your collection. How do you feel about the desert boot?
That's perfect what you said. It's probably not your first choice. You're going to get more versatility out of that wingtip, but like you said, if you're expanding your collection, it's a good one to have, especially for the season. Usually they have some texture to them, so it fits in well with the fall season. Great pick. I like that one.
All right, now let's move on to fall winter. Which is, man, this is just classic stuff. The toe boots in cognac leather. Now, these are a little bit higher than all the other shoes we mentioned earlier. So, this you could wear with denim, roll up the denim all the way, you know, a little bit further up the top, and just rock these in the winter. I mean, they're perfect for a puffy vest, maybe a down jacket, a leather jacket. Just gives it a little bit of a grimy look, but at the same time, very trendy and modern. Do you have any toe boots, Rich?
Yes, I do. Living here in the Midwest, we get a lot of snow, so I have definitely a nice little boot collection going just out of necessity. But at the same time, like you said at the outset, I didn't want to sacrifice style or comfort. So with boots, you really can get both. And in fact, I have that cognac color, which is perfect for denim. And every time I wear those, I get a lot of compliments. So a pair of cognac boots, that color, it's perfect, especially as we transition into the colder months.
Yeah, and the thing about these boots, too, is the more you wear them, for some reason, the better they look. The more, you know, rougher they get, I don't know. It's just, they just have that look when, no matter if you're walking around in the rain, snow, it just works, man. So that's definitely a must have. And they're also very comfortable. So I don't know. I love them. So I hope every gentleman, you know, is able to go out to the stores and get a pair of them, because that's a must have. All right, man, let's move on to a little bit of a dressier shoe. My personal favorite, the monk strap. It could be a double monk or a single monk strap. You can't go wrong with these bad boys, man. I mean, if you want to wear a sharp suit on an interview, you know, if you're going out to a party, going out to a fashion event, these are a must-have, man. They go great with socks or without socks. With a classic blue suit, it's a wrap, man. Now, me personally, I like them a little bit darker. I've never owned a black monk strap. I'm working on that as we speak, Rich.
Yeah.
Surprised if you see the black monk straps in my next photo shoot. I don't even need to ask you, Rich. I know you have to have a monk strap in that closet of yours.
You know what, Dennis? I'm gonna shock you with this one. I don't. And I have been looking for the past few months. And the thing about it is, I'm at a point in my life where I have to have comfortable shoes. So if anyone has a recommendation for a brand that is very comfortable, please let me know. Because what I've found is I've tried on some different pairs of monk straps lately,
yeah. And
they just didn't work for me. And I know everybody's foot's different. And generally for me, slip-ons don't work the best. I don't know why, how my foot is constructed, or if I'm just not finding the right pair, but I am trying to locate that perfect pair of monk straps. So again, if anybody out there is listening can tell me a brand that they recommend, I'm all ears.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that, because that is very true, Rich. They're a little bit more narrow towards the end. They're not made for comfort, man. You walk in for more than five or six hours. If you're not used to it, don't even bother. Now, another tip I could give is if you're wearing socks, wear thicker socks.
Okay, now that's a good tip. I haven't tried that.
The sock game's got to be good, man.
Yeah, I haven't tried a thicker sock with it. You know, I have a lot more success with my shoes when they're lace-up. It seems to be more comfortable, especially I do a little bit of travel, and when I do travel to other cities, I like to walk. I like to get the full flavor of the city, so I do a lot of walking around and sightseeing, and I love nothing more than to have comfortable shoes. The last thing I want to be dealing with is my feet hurting as I'm trying to enjoy myself, but I'm not giving up yet, Dennis. I'm still looking for some monk straps. And I think, you know, I'm not going to stop till I find the right pair.
Well, you know what, man? I might have some for you. My last monk straps that I bought were from Bar 3. They're amazing, man. So I think you should go to Macy's and check that brand out, man.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put that on my to-do list for this weekend, getting over to Macy's and slipping a pair of those on, walking around, see how they feel. Thanks for that tip.
All right, man. Now let's move on to the legendary penny loafers. I feel like these shoes have been around forever, right, Richard? I mean, this is one of the few shoes that you can actually transition from summer straight to fall. Like,
yeah.
There's no rules on when to wear it.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I got just a quick story about penny loafers. That's really the first dress shoe that I remember owning myself when I was a young man. And I'm talking about just a young kid. And back then in the 80s, I put a penny in there just to go all the way classic. I don't know if my parents told me to do it or if Lionel Richie told me to do it, but either way, man, that's a little memory I have about the penny loafers.
Man, penny loafers. You know what's funny, though? That might be the first pair of shoes I own, too, man. I don't know why. I don't know what is it about the penny loafer, man. It just never goes out of trend, man.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, so, I mean, another tip, you know, that gentlemen should always have a shoe cleaning kit. Now, this is the thing about a cleaning kit is it has to be a good one, man. You know, it has to be something that, you know, of a brand. You're not just going to go to Walmart and just pick out anything, man.
No, you're right there. Like you said, once you've made an investment into a shoe, why would you put something cheap on there to take care of it? You want to make sure you spend a little bit of money, get the right products on there. You're right.
Yeah, because you have to maintain it. One thing about shoes is the more you wear them, man, they wear off, man. They take a beating.
Yeah, and if you buy a great pair, though, you know, they're really going to last. But like you said, you can't skimp on the care for them. You know, coincidentally, just a few months ago, I kind of stepped up my shoe care game, if you will. Got some new products, and I also got I don't know if you've seen this. It's basically like a box that you put it all in, a nice wooden box, and it has a footrest, and you keep all your products inside of there. And it's a great way to store everything, and looks kind of classy too if you keep it in your office or something like that.
Also, you could also use the slip-on to help you, you know, get into your shoe without having to stick your finger in there.
Yeah, the shoehorn. Yeah, a lot of guys, you're right. You see everybody doing the finger thing, or they're,
all you're doing is bending the shoe.
Yeah, or they're just, you see a lot of guys just kind of stomp their way into it, and it's really crumpling up that leather on the heel. It really looks bad, and once that's damaged, it doesn't go back. So shoehorn is a good investment, doesn't cost much. And if you notice, when you go to a nice shoe store, when they help you, they always use a shoehorn. And so that's common sense, I guess.
Well, you know what? I also look at it as a gentleman thing. I mean, don't you agree?
Yeah, it's a lot better than stomping your foot in there like you're some kind of 6-year-old.
Yeah, also, it'll last you about a couple of months more with the shoehorn. So definitely taking care of your shoes is very important, man. Because, you know, like I said, you're going to spend money on shoes. You know, that's one item that you're going to have to spend money.
Yeah, there's no way around it. You can ruin your outfit. I mean, you can look great, like you said, a nice navy suit or a great casual outfit, and then people are naturally going to look down, check out your feet. You don't want to let them be disappointed. You really don't even want to disappoint yourself wearing some shoes that are uncomfortable or just cheap, that don't look good and won't hold up, because you're just throwing money away. You're going to have to replace them. Might as well spend the money up front and get some good ones.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing too, which I think I've seen in one of your Harrison Blake boxes, which is shoelaces. What was the idea behind that, adding that on to your boxes?
Well, a lot of times people like to switch up the shoelaces, have a little fun with it. For instance, I've done that a few times with a darker brown shoe. I've put in a medium blue shoelace, and it kind of accents the rest of the outfit. You can do it. There's a lot of companies out there that have multicolor or different color laces. It's optional for gentlemen if you just want to have a little fun. So that was the idea behind it, putting it in a subscription. But personal preference, it's good to have, if you have a brown shoe, even just another backup pair of brown laces on hand, or whatever laces are going to match your shoe, because there's nothing worse than seeing frayed laces. Or, you know, you've probably seen that before, where people can barely tie their shoelaces because they're falling apart. Doesn't cost much, and it makes your shoes look like brand new again.
Yeah, I mean, you can have some nice Oxfords, you know, and then have just beat up shoelaces, man. And shoelaces are not that expensive.
Right.
They range from $2 to $5.
Yeah, that's all, and it makes your shoes look brand new.
Yeah, so I think that was an effective way to, you know, add an accessory to your collection boxes, man. That was a great move by you there.
I appreciate it, Dennis. Yeah, just trying to have a little fun.
Is that something that you're going to bring back in future boxes?
I would say so. Seems like every now and then we like to switch it up, so we'll get that back in the rotation. Hopefully everybody likes it.
Now, one thing about Harrison Blake, man, they always surprise you.
We try. We do our best.
All right, so, I mean, in conclusion, guys, take care of your shoes. That's an item that you want to spend money on, because you're gonna get rewarded. You're wearing that every day. It's not a suit where you're wearing it once or twice a week. Or, you know, it's not a dress shirt where you're interchanging dress shirts. I mean, a shoe, you're pretty much wearing it. Buy necessity first, as far as, like, you know, get the brogues out of the way, get the penny loafers out of the way, and get the boot out of the way, and then you can start adding on some different pair of shoes and different colors to kind of get comfortable with yourself and, you know, your wardrobe. Because the thing about shoes is, I'm telling you right now, people always say this, man, shoe makes a difference. Just like a watch, people look at your shoes and say, well, you know what, I gotta take this guy serious.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, you're totally right when it comes to the shoes. So thanks for coming on and sharing the must-have shoes, and also the tips on not skimping on the care for the shoes too. We appreciate it. We look forward to having you come back on, Dennis, and letting us know about some other styling needs.
All right, my man. It's fall season, winter, so I'm excited, man. Nice talking to you, and check you guys out later.
Okay, we'll talk soon.
Well, gentlemen, that completes another episode of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Today, we had a great discussion at the outset. Charles and I were able to get together over the phone and talk about stress. It's something that a lot of us deal with. Well, let me take that back. It's something that everyone deals with, but we found a way to manage it, and hopefully those tips come in handy for you. Next, we had a chance to speak with Steve Nunez from The Social Cut, and he had a lot of energy and brought the enthusiasm when he was talking about grooming and also fashion. We'd like to applaud him for his transition into entrepreneurship and getting away from the corporate machine. Lastly, we talked with Dennis Stiles. He dropped in again, and this time he was talking about fall shoes. We hope that you were able to gain some insight into the type of shoes that might be great for fall and maybe pick up a new pair to add to your own wardrobe. Before we go, we'd like to thank everybody that contributed to today's episode, and also a special thank you to our producer, Deandra, who does a wonderful job of getting the podcast produced for us. Also, we'd like to send a special thanks to our guest, once again, Steve Nunez, for coming on, and also Dennis and Charles for being a part of the podcast each week. We invite you to come back next week, where we'll have another exciting interview and a great discussion, helping us all to continually strive to live this life of a gentleman. Until next time, everyone, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake monthly subscription club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by Deandra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandramarie.com.